Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's For Women. You are not 9 to 5 and neither are we. Conveniently open online 365 days per year, 24 hours per day.
Nell McCafferty, the late great, as we're now sadly hearing, she's died at the age of 80. She turned 80 earlier in the year, and she was the firebrand feminist, the kind of colourful, contrarian, controversialist, quite brilliant and fierce representative of all that campaign that went on for decades upon decades. She was also a great crack as well. Met her a couple of times. She hadn't been well in the last few years, and she's had her ups and downs, which she's well talked about, not least in her memoir, which is 20 years old, Nell, which recounted her life campaigning for women's rights, her part in the Northern Civil Rights Movement, because she was a proud daughter of Derry. The two things that kind of spring to mind are, you know, campaigns we look at now almost affectionately in a sort of a coy way, which are things like the condoms train from down south, because she was a founder member of the Irish Women's Liberation, and it took part in the contraceptive train protests. You'll remember this, of course, condoms banned in Ireland until the 80s, and the train was that big act of protest, very colourful, and a group of, I think it was less than 50 women, led by Nell, went from Dublin up to Belfast, bought the condoms, which were legally available in the north at the time, and then they came down to Dublin and made a big show of declaring the items to the customs officials at Conwy Station, who didn't know what to do or where to look. And it was just a brilliant way of capturing the moment. And it got huge press coverage, and it was a watershed moment for women's rights and broke that taboo. She was breaking taboos because she had kind of a radar for shite, didn't she? Nell McCafferty could sniff them out from every distance. And as it happens, this year was the 40th anniversary of the women who also, led by Nell, invaded the 40-foot bathing place in Sandy Cove in Dublin long before there were dry robes. The women came by land, sea and air, as they said, and it was exclusively male, the 40-foot, as you see. And the women arrived there with Nell to go for their swim, and they were met with sexist abuse, and the men who swam nude were there. Well, we're naked, that'll offend you. And she just marched by them and ignored them. And she was one of the participants. She was a journalist, just a wonderful stuff. And again, she knew how to hold a campaign, and a sort of campaign that embarrassed the establishment into listening to her and listening to women's voices. And the results of that movement are there today. We kind of look back, as I say, in a coy way, almost laughing at the bizarre version of Ireland that exists at the time. She wrote a couple of books in her time, A Woman to Blame, which covered the Kerry Babies case, The Armagh Women, which covered female Republican prisoners and their hunger strikes, which are often forgotten, even the Republican movement in Armagh. And Peggy Deary was another one. A Derry family at war traced the life of Peggy Deary, who was shot and wounded but not killed on Bloody Sunday 1971. And that is one of the reasons among many that she got honorary doctorates around the place from UCC. And we fondly remember Nell, and there will be tributes to her throughout the day in RTE. Nell McCafferty, 80 years of age. Oliver, may Nell McCafferty rest in peace. If it should also be noted that while she advocated for many women, she was also a tough woman, took no crap, says Paul in Dublin. Yes, indeed, Paul. And Sam Smith, the journalist, of course, he would have known her very well. He's on the line. Good morning to you, Sam Smith.
Hi, Oliver.
How are you? And I'm sorry that you've lost your friend as well, because you knew her very, very well.
I did, for a very long time.
Yes.
Going back to, believe it or not, the beginning of the troubles in Northern Ireland, she would have regularly been around most things as they were happening in Derry, for instance. She was a great pal of my friend up there, Eamon McCann.
Yes.
And she seemed to be at the front of everything. She had an opinion on everything. And it was not only an opinion, it was actually an informed opinion. And she was extraordinarily intelligent and, of course, controversial and provocative and altogether good fun. Like, people sought out her company because she was a great searing wit.
What are your kind of abiding memories in terms of her achievements? Because I mentioned the condom train. I mentioned these kind of huge campaigns she was involved in. Was there kind of one thing? She seemed to flit between everything, and she tried to accomplish everything all at once.
Oh, she hit all of the targets, I mean, and I think the one thing that sticks out in my mind was I was also involved in the coverage of the Kerry babies, controversy in the 80s. And I remember being in Tralee covering the hearings there. And she was down there, and I met up with her most evenings. You know, the tribunal rose at, what, 4:30 or 5 in the day, and we did a bit of writing, and then we'd get together and drink and so on. And I got to know her quite well down there. And she was very good at getting to the heart of the matter. And she had that spotted very, very quickly. And, you know, it came down to the thing is, how did these poor and clearly decent people confess to a murder they couldn't possibly have been guilty of? And now there was lots of flack flying around, but it took a long time for people to get to the nitty-gritty of that this was a huge, huge injustice going on. And she campaigned on that. She spoke to people. You know, her analysis was searing, and I think she mostly got to the truth of that. If anybody could ever get to the middle of such a mess as it turned out to be at the time. And while I had enjoyed her very much before that, and she was at times great company and good fun, she was also wise and very, very shrewd, and leads us to say she understood the role of the women in this country so well, and she was a formidable person. And as somebody who grew up with a strong sister and in a house where there were women, I understood where she was coming from. And very few people could challenge her on her own terms. They really couldn't. And I must say, one of the things I regretted from time to time, I've seen her in recent years with failing health, and it was quite sad. But occasionally, even then, she would break out of whatever awful circumstance she was in medically, and you know, come out with some searing line or some terrific insult about somebody we both didn't like. And it was it certainly made my day when I met her in those circumstances.
She had cut through, and she had a view on everybody as well. Neville Gafferty.
Everything and everybody. There was no opinion that escaped her, that is for sure. And now she was fairly easy to get. But, you know, I think there were a few dips in her life too. Yeah. And one of the interesting things was that she was ferociously protective of and close to her mother. And they lived in a small house in Derry. And Nell, of course, in that house would not have been the fearsome creature that she could be on the street. And her mother ruled that kingdom in there. And Nell would have learned what life was like in poor urban Northern Ireland, as it was at that time. And she did have great respect for her mother. I presume she learned it somewhere, and I presume she learned a lot of what she later, you know, spoke about and wrote about so well at her mother's knee.
We can't mention Nell without talking about Nuala Fualan. I think they was 15 years together, wasn't it? Was that a very happy time in her life?
I think it was. I was very contented. I also knew Nuala Fualan fairly well too. And I don't think it's up to a gentleman or indeed a lady or indeed anybody to inquire into the intimate details of anyone's life. But I suspect it was a life that wouldn't have been as well known to those outside. They were very close, but they also bickered a lot, and they were fiercely intelligent, like they really were. And there, as we said before, there wasn't a subject that passed them by or an opinion that wasn't examined very closely. And they lived in Ranelagh, and they had a great friendship there with an eminent senior counsel at the time who advised them, not that they needed much advice, I think they gave as much as they ever received, but they used to drink in the Hill pub. And I would from time to time call in there and see them. And it was more often than not an absolute joy to meet them. And they would have scurrilous gossip about somebody that we had in common. And they feared no one. And I suspect it was a time in Dublin that, you know, you had McLean Moore and the Gate and Hilton Edwards, his partner at the time, yeah. And gay relationships could be very well known, paradoxically, when they were probably, illegal for most people and so on. And they led the way for many people in this country.
I never thought of it like that. Yeah. Micheál MacLemore, Hilton Edwards. Nuala and Nell. Yes, they kind of lived openly, even though it was a society that didn't tolerate it, ironically. We've a clip here, Sam.
And great jokes about it, too.
Great jokes, yeah. Sense of humour is a huge thing with Nell McCafferty. I have a clip here, Sam, I want to play to me, because it'd be good to hear her voice this morning, because she had a great voice. This is Nell recounting the condom train that I mentioned earlier on.
Now, in 1971, the average family size was 12. And not unusual to have 13 or 15 children. Northern Ireland was under British rule, slightly more liberal. But we thought, right, we'll get the train to Belfast, break the law, get the contraceptives, bring them back to Dublin. And the contraceptive train, some people get it wrong and call it the condom train. And I say, no, it was never a condom train. We were never going to give control of our sexuality and fertility to men. If we called it the condom train, you're drawing attention to the penis. Therefore, you're drawing attention to sex. In fact, we just weren't going to talk about it. And we go up to the counter. And I'm the leader of the pack. And I said to the chemist, I would like, please, the contraceptive pill. And he said, where's your prescription? I said, what prescription? He said, a doctor's prescription. I said, I don't have one. He said, you can't have any. I said, well then, give me the coil. He said, where's your prescription? And then I had the idea, look, the customs officers, they have never seen the contraceptive pill. Nobody in Ireland has seen it. And we ordered something like 1,000 aspirin. And we stripped them out of their packets. Here's the contraceptive pill. And we get back on the train.
There we go. She's even scolding us from the afterwards. It is not the condom train. It is the contraceptive train. That is, if we take nothing else. Sam Smith, thank you very much. I'm sorry if you lost your friend again. And
thank you.
It's a lovely day to remember her. We wish her family well, and may she rest in peace. And thank you, Nell.